Tonight's lesson, as I mentioned this morning, comes from Psalm 51. It is a very emotional psalm because it deals with one of the most emotional acts that we can do, and that is repent. The background for this psalm is David's sin. Recall the Nathan the prophet convicts David of his sin with Bathsheba, his sin of having her husband Uriah killed in the battleground. And so Nathan convicts him of his sin. This is in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. And so this psalm is a response to how David felt about that sin and what he needed to do about that sin. And like I said, it's a very emotional psalm. It touches all kinds of feelings within us, as do a lot of psalms. But this one in particular possibly is the best description in the entire Bible of what genuine repentance is all about. And if we were ever, if anyone ever asked you about what it means to repent, refer them to Psalm 51. Because I think it's the best place probably in the entire Bible about that very thing. So with that background in mind about what David had done, his sin again with Bathsheba, his sin against Uriah, think about those things as the background to what David is talking about here. He begins, the first two verses, he has a desire for mercy. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." So at the very beginning, he places himself at God's mercy. He knows he's sinned. He admits he's sinned. And he admits that he has no way himself to get rid of that sin. He's a great king. He's a powerful king. He has all of this authority. He has all of these soldiers underneath him. But he's completely helpless to get rid of that sin. And that has to be felt by us whenever we sin. We have to realize that we are totally helpless. We simply have no way of ridding ourselves of sin. It has to be done by God. We don't have the power. If we had the power, there would be no point in Christ having come to earth. So we don't have that power. We are just as helpless as David was. So he appeals to God's kindness. He appeals to God's mercy. He appeals to God's compassion. So he says, "Please blot out. Please wash. Please cleanse." And he uses these terms: transgressions, iniquity, sin, all referring, though, to different aspects of his failure. That's what he had done. He had failed God. So David's only hope is God. He has nowhere else to turn because only Jehovah can remove that sin. Over in the book of Isaiah, and your Bible may reference this verse, in Isaiah 43, notice what is said in verse 25. Isaiah 43, verse 25, is a great commentary on this verse. It says, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake." This is God talking. "And I will not remember your sins." See, God says, "I am the one who blots out transgressions." So that's what David is doing here. He places himself at God's mercy and saying, "Please blot out this failure. Please blot out my transgression. What I have done against Bathsheba, what I've done against Uriah, I know is wrong. And I can't do anything about it myself. So I'm placing myself at your mercy." Then in the next three verses, he recognizes and confesses how deep his sin was. You know, often in our world when people sin, even sometimes in the church, they just kind of slough it off as not being that big a deal. But the Bible, you know, emphatically says that any sin can separate us from God. Those little white lies can separate us from God. Being envious can separate us from God. So any sin is a transgression. Any sin is an iniquity. Any sin is a failure. So David here recognizes the gravity of his sin, the seriousness of his sin. So he doesn't downplay it. He doesn't pretend it's not all that bad. He says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." See, you can just tell from those three verses how this sin is constantly on his mind. This sin is so grievous and is on his mind to such an extent he feels like it's been with him since he was born. Since that's how serious and how deep he feels about his sin. Well, of course, that's how we should feel as well. In Psalm 32, just a few pages back in your Bible, David says this in verse 5. Psalm 32, verse 5. David says, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." I've not hidden it from you. I'm freely confessing it. You know, David had disappointed God. Whenever we sin, we disappoint God. And that's what David had done. He had disappointed God. Because all sin is ultimately against God. Because it's ultimately against His authority and against His Word. So, it's all against God. He had violated God's law. So whatever punishment he got, he deserved. And of course, if you read there in 2 Samuel, he was punished for it. He was punished for that sin. So he knew regardless of what happened, he deserved it. Because again, he knew how serious it was. So he confesses how deep that sin actually was. It surrounded him. It engulfed him. It was around him all the time. He said it was constantly with me. And he calls it evil. And that's exactly what sin is. Sin is evil. But David confesses it. And he acknowledges it. And that's something that all of us must do when we really repent. We have to acknowledge how serious the sin is. Regardless of what sin it is we committed, we have to acknowledge how serious it is. Just like David is doing here. He gives us an example of what we must do and how we must feel toward those failures, those transgressions. And now, in the next three verses, he talks about how desperately he needs to be cleansed. He feels dirty from the sin. He says, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice." See, David knows that God wants him to have a clean heart, a pure heart, one that is no longer associated with, in any way, sin. He says, I know you want that. Now, it's God's Word that is bringing about this repentance. Again, going back to 2 Samuel chapter 11, God used Nathan the prophet to convict David of his sin. You know, at the end of that account, what does Nathan the prophet say? "You are the man." So it's God's Word that produced repentance in David. And that's exactly what has to produce repentance in us, is God's Word. You know, Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the word is living and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So it is powerful. So Nathan, the word of Nathan the prophet, produced repentance. And so David asked for, he says, purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was associated with cleansing leprosy. When a house or something had been touched with leprosy and become unclean, hyssop was used. So David's associating leprosy with sin. He says, cleanse me from the leprosy of sin. Purge me. Get rid of it. Remove it from me. He says, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Isaiah uses that similar phrase in the very first chapter of Isaiah. Because he wants to hear joy and gladness. See, that's what sin does. Sin removes joy and gladness from our lives. Since it separates us from God, and God's the source of joy and gladness, when we sin, that joy and gladness is taken away. Today, our society wants us to think that sin will bring happiness and satisfaction. No, it doesn't. It brings pain and it brings sorrow. And he says, so that the bones you have broken may rejoice. You know, he felt like his spirit had been crushed by his transgressions. And of course, in many ways, it had been. You turn back a few pages to Psalm 38. Another psalm of David about sin and about cleansing and about remembrance. In Psalm 38, verse 3, David writes, there is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. Sin causes us to have that feeling of being crushed. Or it should. David felt crushed because of his transgressions, because of his sin and iniquities, his failures. He felt crushed underneath them. But he knew God was the only one that could renew a right spirit in him. Notice the next four verses. Verse 9, back in Psalm 51. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. See, that's what sin does. It separates us from God. And then God turns his back on us. God hides his face from us because he cannot look upon, have sin in his presence. In Psalm 59, or Isaiah 59, this is where he talks about what sin does. It's Isaiah 59. This is probably a verse we all need to have memorized. Verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah 59. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Until those sins and iniquities are removed, God hides his face from us because he can't look upon sin. David understood that. David wants God to look upon him with favor, not with displeasure. He does want God to look at him and see that there's no sin. See, he wants his sins removed. He says, blot all of my iniquities out and create within me a clean heart. So he wants God to erase his sins and his iniquities. You know, just strike them from the record, God, so that they're not there anymore. There's no remembrance of them there for you. That's what he wants. He wants a new self. See, he understands that sin had hurt, had corrupted his heart, his soul, his mind. And he wanted a new self because he knew he had to have a new self to live in God's presence. Because he wants the joy of your salvation. He wanted deliverance. That's what he wanted. He wanted deliverance from the penalty and the power of sin. In Isaiah chapter 61, notice what Isaiah says in verse 10 of Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful, my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. He says, I'm going to greatly rejoice because he's clothed me with the garments of salvation. David wants that new self. David says, then I can teach transgressors. Notice the next three verses, beginning in verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. This is what David is going to do when he's been forgiven. And this shows that he's been forgiven. Because he is going to go tell transgressors and sinners that he's been there, and he's going to warn them about the seriousness and the gravity of sin and transgression. So he says, I will go teach transgressors. I will tell them about your ways. And hopefully they'll avoid my mistakes. He talks about blood guiltiness. Bloodshed. And of course, certainly referring to Uriah and what he had done to Uriah. And then he would be able to sing God's praises. Then verses 16 and 17. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. David's sacrifice, he says to God, is himself. David says, I'm not just going to give you these burnt offerings and so forth. I'm going to give you me. And ultimately, that's what God wants from everybody. He wants us. Doesn't just want our sacrifices and offerings, just like David says, I'm going to give you me. All of me. That's what you're going to get. Back in Psalm 34. Back in Psalm 34, notice verse 18. This is another psalm of David. Psalm 34, 18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. He wants us to have a humble spirit, a submissive spirit. He wants us to come to him knowing that sin breaks us down. And so he wants us to come to him humbly, with humility. And David says, I'm going to give you my whole being. I'm not just going to present these sin offerings and burnt offerings. I'm going to give you my whole self. And with that in his mind, he ends it up with a prayer for the whole nation. Because he knows the whole nation needs to repent. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. The only way the nation was going to be pleasing to God is if the nation repented. And David knew they needed to repent, just like he needed to repent. So if God was going to accept these offerings, the nation needed to repent. You know, it doesn't do us any good, even today, you know, to sing or to pray or to partake of the Lord's Supper or to read our Bibles if we're in rebellion to God. You know, we can go and do all those things that externally makes us look like we're in God's favor. But if we're rebelling against God, if we're sinning and transgressing God's law, and we're not having these emotions and feelings about how awful and serious and grave our sins are, then these outward things that we offer to God have no value at all. They wouldn't have had for David, and they won't for us. That's why we're told in 1 Corinthians that when you partake of the Lord's Supper, you need to be very careful. You need to be careful about your life, and do you understand what this is about? That Jesus died for your sins. You know, focus on your sins, not the sins of the world. Focus on your sins. And so this psalm is just as important and just as relevant and just as valid today as it was 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. Repentance is probably the hardest thing you and I can do. And this tells us what repentance is really like. We must understand that we're at God's mercy because we can't do anything about our own sins. We have no power to do anything about our sins. So we place ourselves at God's mercy. And we call upon His compassion and His loving kindness to blot out our sins, to erase our sins, wash away our sins, purge our sins, cleanse our sins. David used all those terms because he knew how serious sin was. And we have to understand how serious our sins are too. Regardless of what the sin is, any sin has the power to separate us from God. And that shows the power of sin. And there's only one solution. And that is Jesus Christ. There isn't any other solution. Because His blood is the only thing powerful enough to wash and cleanse and purge our sins. No wonder those people on Pentecost, after hearing that lesson, said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And the Bible says they were pricked in their heart. They were cut in their heart. They knew they had done something very, very wrong. And so they wanted to know, what can we do to be saved? And of course, Peter told them, repent. And that's what they needed to do more than anything. Because once they repented, being baptized would be very easy. But repentance, difficult. And it still is today. Whether we're a child of God or not, repentance is a very difficult thing for us to do because we have to admit we've done something wrong, just like David did. And tonight, we have a chance. We're invited by this song, we're invited by God to make things right, just like David did. David had to go to God and ask for forgiveness. And tonight, if you need to come for any reason, to become a child of God, to ask for God's forgiveness, to ask for prayers, the congregation for strength, and we encourage you to do that very thing as Travis leads us in this song. Let us stand, please.